Good morning and welcome to all the diehards that come to the last session of the last day. I'm having actually a bit of deja vu right now because 1 year ago in Dallas, the Los Angeles Orange County region presented on the provider status report application that they developed, and since we transitioned to the CARE application, we now have access to that. So I will be speaking a little bit about how we use that application, and I just thought it was kind of fitting. Theirs was the last one of the last presentation, the last session, and that's me too. Today we're going to go a little bit over the background of the evaluation that we did with our transition providers, our evaluation objectives, preparing for the evaluation, what steps we took for that, the PSR reports that we used in the evaluation process and the results that we had, and any barriers we found, and as well what our next steps are going to be, because this is still a work in progress for us. Little bit of background. As I said, the provider status report was developed by the LA Orange County region of the California Immunization Registry. It is a web-based application. It contains several queries that is used to assess both care use and the quality of data in care. It became available to all care regions in 2009 as all of the servers were co-located. And so when it became available for us, the next logical step, as I saw it, was let's use PSR to evaluate our transition from our VaxTrack software to the CARE software. The evaluation objectives that we wanted to look at were how many providers were using the inventory feature. Inventory was a new feature for us. If you were in the session yesterday when I was talking about VaxTrack and our programmatic challenges, VaxTrack was very simple and we did not have that inventory function. It was a pseudo inventory function in that it would allow someone to use as a placeholder for inventory if you're doing data entry for a single day, but every kind of inventory information, the lot numbers would all clear out at night. It didn't count lots or the doses given or anything like that. Did the inventory feature make an impact on the provider use of the registry? If the providers did not use inventory, were they at least entering immunizations into care? And if they did not enter any immunizations, how long had it been since their last log into the system? We wanted to find out, at least are they getting on and looking up records? And then what are the barriers to using care, if any? So in preparing for the evaluation, the first thing we had to do was determine which PSR reports to use. And it really should be noted that for us, PSR was a very new tool when we started using it. We were still learning, and we would call one of the trainers from CARE with a lot of questions on making sure we were using the application correctly. We decided to look at the number of inventory transactions, the number of records without inventory transactions, so that would give an indication of the immunizations being entered, login activity, and then the next step was to look at what providers we're going to evaluate. We wanted to run some baseline reports to see what they were doing and then compare that to some historical data that we had and then contact our providers to find out, okay, do you have a barrier? What's going on? And then we would be monitoring and running follow-up reports. So the different reports, the inventory transaction report, and this is just kind of a sample of what it would look like. And I actually ran this on one of our providers that we used. It identifies the number of shots given and deleted from the inventory during a specified time frame. And so for this, I ran this particular report from July 13th through the end of March, because if you recall from yesterday, July 13th was our go-live date. The next PSR report we used was the records without inventory transactions. And this is the report is just going to tell us which patient records contain only transcribed immunization history, and it's only for active patients. And it may be a sign to us that the provider is not using the, of course, it's a sign that the provider is not using, if we check with, cross-compare with other records, not using inventory, or they're struggling with the inventory use which would indicate additional training. The login activity will identify the login information for the users for that provider office, how many days since the last login, how many total logins. And again, as I stated earlier, we want to know, is the provider at least logging in and looking up records? And our other question was, okay, well, does this provider have an EMR system? Because they may start using care but then get tired because of double data entry. And then we would need to talk with those providers about doing some type of electronic flat file data exchange. In selecting providers to evaluate, we did want to look at only high-use providers that were under VaxTrack for a couple of reasons. Primarily, the high-use providers under VaxTrack, we would have some good historical data on, and also our high-use providers under VaxTrack were the primary target group for training to switch to care. We did a random selection, and now we do have a very small sample size. We only selected 34. Part of the reason for this is we were checking records in our provider management database, and we limited our providers, again, to Riverside County, because Riverside County has been using the provider management database since it was developed in 2003. We have very complete information on all of our participating providers in the database, including that historical immunization information. And in San Bernardino, they are beginning to use the data, but we haven't yet started sharing that database, so I didn't have easy access to their data. Of the number that we were looking at, one of the offices had closed out of this random sample. 29 offices had been trained to use care, and 4 offices had been not trained to use care. Now, as far as how many providers were using care, we looked at the 2 different time frames. We initially looked at the 13th of July through the beginning part of December, and then again through about mid-April. Same sample size. Now, the number of providers trained did go up when you look at the 2 sample sizes. The number of providers using inventory remained constant, and the numbering entering transcribed information, however, decreased. We did have initially about 75% of our providers using care when you combine both entering transcribed immunizations and using the inventory function, and that actually was better than what we had under VaxTrack, because we had a lot of providers dropping out of routine use of VaxTrack because of printing problems. Now, our findings about care use is that the clinics that were using the inventory function in December continued using the inventory function. So I believe that the use of the inventory, of course, does make an impact on continued use. Of the 2 clinics that were entering transcribed immunization, well, of the clinics that were entering, 2 stopped entering immunizations into care. One of them lost their primary user, and had we been not so focused on H1N1 and not putting as much effort into following up with some of these transitioned providers, we would have discovered through our routine phone calls that they had lost a primary user and would have arranged training for someone else. The other provider office uses an EMR, and it is a homegrown EMR, so they're an office that we need to contact and discuss the data exchange, but we want them to, because it's a homegrown EMR, we want them to actually enter data into care and export it into their EMR system. How many providers were logging into care? We did have 23 providers logging in consistently. I left the untrained providers out of this, of course, because they wouldn't really count for logging in, since you had to attend training to get your login. So when I look at consistently logging in, I would look at within the past 30 days. And quite honestly, going through the numbers, most of the providers averaged logging in the longest time was less than 2 weeks. But most of the providers were within the last 7 days. And of that, I would say 90% was within the last 24 hours of login. So all provider sites were using inventory, had logged in within the last week and most within the past 24 hours. The sites that were entering the transcribed vaccines had logged into the registry within 2 weeks. Providers who were not entering data into care did not log in to check children's immunizations, and that was an issue that was of concern to us. And then as far as barriers to care use, we again were excluding providers who had not been trained when we were evaluating this. For inventory use, 50% of them said it was time, and the other 50% was training. So again, had we been doing the routine follow-up to the extent that we would do under normal circumstances, we would have addressed that 50% with the training. And for those who were just using care, again, 75% said they had a time issue, and 25% it was staff turnover. We could have addressed the staff turnover, and then those with the time issues, we could have been working with them to baby step them through the process about getting them to agree to, okay, let's start doing this first and doing that. But I do think H1N1 also had an impact on them because they were busier during this time. The other thing is we wanted to find out, did the transition affect the quantity of the immunizations entered? And when I look at the same time periods, I have the two time periods, the July through December and the July through April. The new immunizations entered during the last time period, you could see that there was a decrease in the number of immunizations entered during that time. Although the longer we got into it, the smaller the decrease got. And some possible explanations for that change in volume is the learning curve and the need for additional training. There was much more for them to learn, and the inventory function, we found that since it was so new to our providers, that's where they struggled the most, and we had to make some changes to how we did the training. I think really the other key issue is the lack of retention-based follow-up by staff, because myself and the primary person doing a lot of the retention-based follow-up were pulled off to do the H1N1 Department Operation Command activities. And we didn't, the other thing is, when we would normally do a software, bring someone up, a new provider up on a software, we would normally go out on the day they come up and do a deployment visit. So we would be there, we'd be assisting them. We actually, because we did all of our providers at one time, we did not have an opportunity to do any deployment visits to make sure that things were working okay with them. We haven't done the follow-up site visits with them like we would normally do. And the lack of feedback to the provider offices in the terms of reports, we weren't doing the PSR reports yet. We didn't start using the PSR reports until December when we started to look at this. So there were a few months that the providers were out there without that follow-up. And there's also the lack of staff time at the provider office level to enter the data, since anywhere from 50 to 75%, depending on what was going on, said that staff time was an issue. Our next steps is to resume our regular, I say resume and continue because we have resumed, but can continue with our regular retention activities, which includes the quarterly phone calls to assess the registry use and training needs, to offer retraining as needed, and to schedule deployment visits with any site receiving additional training. We will also be doing follow-up visits to all transitioned providers. We are going to be introducing, we'll be running the provider status report that the LAOC region presented in that format. We'll be taking that on a follow-up site visit to the office manager, introducing it, letting them know, here's this information that we have, this is the kind of feedback we have for you. And then we're also going to be discussing other care reports and benefits. And one thing that we have decided to do, we have some additional money left under one of our grants that we have decided to do a provider event that's going to focus more to the office managers and any of the physicians that are interested, that will focus on these are the kind of reports that not only you can get yourself out of care, but here's the provider status report so we can show them, because I've noticed that one of our providers that was a high use provider before that is not using care at all right now, they were really consistent about using care or VaxTrack when we were sending them some manual reports that we did every month. And now that we haven't had that kind of feedback with them, they have totally dropped off the face of the earth, it seems, but they're still there and we'll get them back. We are going to also implement action plans to improve care use with each of the provider offices. We will continue to monitor the provider's registry use. As far as our lessons learned, we need to make sure our retention activities fit into our transition plan. And that was one of the things that we, when we transitioned to care, we didn't really think so much about including our retention activities. And that would have really helped with, I think, how well our providers had adjusted to this transition. We also need to be prepared to give feedback to providers early and often. And this is one of the things we are able to do going from here on out, but we weren't prepared to do it when we first transitioned. We need to teach providers to how to measure their own success. So teach them how to use the reports that are available to them in care so that they know what they can do. And I would like to thank, of course, the state care staff for enabling us to have access to the PSR. And most of all, I'd love to thank the CARE LA Orange County region for developing the PSR application in the first place. And of course, to my Inland Empire staff for their tireless work in working with providers. And I know the tireless work that's to come as we catch up. And are there any questions? Okay, if not, I'll be available afterwards. And this is my, we have one.
Good morning. Thank you so much for the presentation. It's always really nice to see information coming from providers about these systems. I kind of have two questions. I was curious about your comment about the provider that's using the homegrown EMR, and you mentioned that you were going to talk with them about possibly entering data from CARE and then importing that into their homegrown system. Is that because it's a homegrown EMR and you have concerns about their ability to do an electronic transfer going the other way, or just wanted to get a little bit more understanding of that?
It's a bit of both. My whole thing is, their homegrown EMR, I do not believe it has an inventory function in it. So, because I've actually visited this provider's office probably about a year and a half to 2 years ago, because we knew they had an EMR. They had been using the registry, and all of a sudden they tapered off. And we were doing some training, and I went with the trainer. It was a new trainer, so partially I went to observe her, but partially I went because I wanted to find out more about what their system was. And it was actually the doctor's husband that developed their EMR system. And we were trying to get him to start doing batch loads. And he wasn't really, he didn't seem like he was wanting to do a batch load out of their system to load into our software. And I just thought, you know, we have more features available. So CARE offers the provider an ability to export an Excel file that they can then upload into their own system. And I think this would work better with them. And so that's my goal. And that's why we want to do more of the export.
Thanks. That's actually sort of a nice lead into my next question, was just about the inventory function. And as you look at these types of interfaces, we're really interested in seeing how the inventory function that exists in state registries is going to interface with sites that are exporting from their EMR and getting information back. And just wondered if you'd sort of looked into, will sites that are exporting data electronically be able to still utilize that inventory function potentially in CARE or not?
Well, if I had my way, they would. It's something we're looking at, but I don't. It's a down the road thing. Currently, it's not. We know the technology is available. Currently, we do not have that in CARE, and I have brought this up, and I see Chris sending me daggers.
Or does it
Hi,
mean?
Chris. Yeah, but no, it's something I think it would be a great feature for providers, but we have too many other priorities technically right now.
Sure. And I think definitely with the time issue, I mean, I think that's where you get into people who have electronic medical records and the time issue, and the way you streamline and address the time issue is to make it, is, you know, being able, everybody to utilize the functions without mm-hmm. having to do double data entry.
Yeah, and that's where it's really nice to have that ability to actually do an export file from CARE, so it will minimize the double data entry, and the provider could probably do that as often as they want. I still have to learn more about that export function because it's one of those things I'm relatively new at CARE. Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Thank you very much.